Hi, thank you for visiting the Remnant Church podcast. We hope that this message will be seed planted in the fertile ground of your heart, watered a seed that has already been planted, and that the Lord of the harvest will bring the increase. May it take roots downward and fruit grow upward and outward. Let us join the message already in progress.
We're going to move right along. I feel like the Lord has given me a word for the day, and I mean what I say when I was praying. That we're not leaving here the same way we walked in, but we're leaving here different. Amen. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. Amen basically means let it be so. Let it be so, Lord. And so if you believe you're going to leave here different than the way you walked in, and in the best way, can you say amen? We've been in a series this summer titled The Word of God Is. And really, this is a series talking about the Bible, talking about the written Word of God and everything that it is to us spiritually. And really, over the last 3 weeks in this series, we have said that the Word of God is our spiritual bread. We've said that it is our spiritual water. And last week, we talked about that it is our spiritual air. It's our spiritual breath, right? And so basically, it has all the things that we need to spiritually survive, but not only to survive, but to thrive. Amen? Because Jesus said, I came that you may have life and life more abundantly. And so that the Word of God has all of that for us. Now, I want to remind you, the very first sermon in this series, that first week, we said this, that the Word of God is a mirror, right? It is a mirror. And so we opened this thing up. And we begin to read it, and it begins to reveal all sorts of things to us, right? It begins to show us things in our life that should be there. It begins to show us things in our life that should not be there. And then it begins to show us the things in our life that may be out of order and out of place. And then it shows us how to get those things in order and in place. Amen? And so just like we do when we look into a physical mirror, right, and we're trying to make sure we look good before we go out and come to Sunday service, if we got any hair out of place, I never have to worry about that. But if we got any hair out of place, well, I can with my eyebrows. Sometimes they get all wonky on me. No, I'm just kidding. But so we look in the physical mirror and we make adjustments, whether our clothes need to be adjusted. And it's, that way we're in proper order, right? So the Bible is a spiritual mirror to us, and we do that in the spiritual with the Bible. So when we see things that are out of place, we begin to make adjustments with the power and through the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And the more we do that, the more we are conformed more and more into His image, more like Jesus. So I want to start out with a story today. And then I'm going to move forward into my sermon from there. So I'll start out with this story. And the Lord's kind of just mixed some things up in this sermon for me. And we're taking a twist. And I'm just going to flow with him, okay? As I was making notes this week, I really felt a call for healing for today's service. And so we're going to be praying for healing today. But I'll start out telling this story. I got a call one time. And I was asked to pray for a child. I'm not going to go into detail, but this child and its family had gotten a terrible diagnosis, devastating diagnosis, and I was just called and asked to pray. Would I pray for them? And so the more information I got, I found out that this child was at a children's hospital in Atlanta, and I just said, hey, I'm going to go. I'm going to go down there. I'm going to pray, but I like to pray in person if I'm able. So I said, I'm going to go down there and pray. Now, anybody that knows me knows that I believe in the power of prayer. Amen? We as a church believe in the healing power of Jesus because I read in this Bible that Jesus heals. Amen? I've read where it says in Exodus 15:26 that He is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals us, right? I read in Psalm 103:3 where it says He forgives all of our iniquities, right? And He heals all of our diseases. Mark 6:12-13, it says this, Jesus sent His disciples out, and it says they went out and they preached that people should repent, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. Okay? That's just one of the places in the Bible where we get anointing people with oil. People have asked me before, why do y'all anoint people with oil when you pray for them? Well, because the Bible says to do it. And I'll give you some more scripture in just a second. I got a lot of scripture today. I hope you're ready. So, but the Bible says to do it. It's not just some crazy thing that the church came up with, but it just comes directly from God's Word. If you go on and you read in the New Testament about the life of Jesus, it says they would bring, everywhere he went, they would bring multitudes of people to him, and he would pray for them, and they were healed, right? Jesus himself goes on to say to us later in John chapter 14, this is verses 12 and 13, he says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me, whoever believes in Jesus, will do the works that I've been doing." What had he been doing? He'd been healing people, setting people free, right? Giving the gospel, and they were getting saved. But they'll do these things that I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, in the name of Jesus, that we've been singing about all morning, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. The book of Hebrews tells us that he's the Lord God. He changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he ever healed then, how many knows he still heals today? Amen? The last scripture I'll give you on this topic is just from the book of James, and it says it explicitly, right? James 5, verses 14 and 15. Is anyone among you sick? That's a question. What do you do? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, who is Jesus, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. So we as a church, we believe in the laying of hands on people, anointing them with oil, and praying the prayer of faith for their healing. Can I get an amen? If I can't get to where someone's at, and physically lay my hand on them, I still pray for healing. You know why? Because I know the power of prayer has no distance, right? God is not limited to time, space, or distance, right? So if I could pray here, and someone could be healed somewhere else as long as I'm praying the prayer of faith, amen? Because there's nothing impossible for God, and he's a God who heals. When I've went to the hospitals, I go to a lot of hospitals. I pray for a lot of people. I've gone to homes. I've prayed for people. I've prayed for people, and I've seen people healed miraculously right there, right when we prayed. Miss Hope, she's not here this morning, I don't believe. Miss Hope had broken her foot. I got to tell y'all this story. So Miss Hope had broken her foot a couple weeks back, just about two and a half, maybe 3 weeks. She had turned her foot and broken her foot. She's been in a boot. Last week, I believe it was, Wayne, I don't know if it was, you met her in the parking lot. She said you laid your Bible on her, and you prayed for her, and she said she felt something, right? And so she came to me Wednesday, and she said, "Look, I go for my checkup tomorrow. I want you to pray that when I go, they've been telling me I'm going to have surgery. They've been telling me I'm going to have to wear this boot probably to the end of August, and I'm going on this missions trip, and I don't need all that. I can't do all that." She said, "So I'm going for another x-ray and another diagnosis tomorrow. I just need you to pray." So we prayed Wednesday night, just this past Wednesday. She called me Thursday around lunchtime. She said, "Andrew, I'm done with my checkup." I said, "Okay." She said, "Well, they said they can barely tell where that thing was broke, and it's almost completely healed. I don't have to have surgery. And he told me I can take the boot off." So God's still in the healing business, right? So I've seen people who've been miraculously healed. I've prayed for people, and then I've seen God use a way of means to help them and heal them. I've also prayed and not seen what I was expecting to see, right? And I can't explain that. I even have the case with my own mother. I'm very open to talk about this. My mother passed in 2023, or 22, and it was very difficult. She had a long battle with multiple myeloma, a form of leukemia, and then she had contracted COVID, and I was praying. I was going back and forth to the hospital. I was the only one that was allowed to be there with her, and I was praying, and I remember there was one One Sunday, I preached here, and I got the call from the nurse at Kennestone and said, hey, you need to get down here. She's not doing well. And I rushed straight from service, went in there, and I prayed, and I began to pray. I cut on worship music, and I was just praying for my mother's healing. And I remember so clearly the Lord spoke to me, and he said, Andrew, I'm going to heal her. And I said, praise the Lord. And he said, just not the way you want me to. And I went home that day. I told my wife about it. I'm going to hold it together. I told my wife about it. And I said, I'm not going to tell anybody else but you this, but I feel like the Lord said, he's going to heal her, just not the way I wanted for him to. And eventually my mom was completely healed and brought into the presence of Jesus. So sometimes we receive our ultimate healing, right? And I struggled with that. When my mom passed away, I struggled with the Lord. I talked to him about it. He's like, look, I healed her, just not the way you expected. I can't really explain how or why things happen in every case. This is what I know, though. I just know that in every case, I am going to be praying and believing for healing. Bottom line, why? Because the Word of God tells us to, okay? So now let me go back to my story. I get the information about this child. I hop in my truck. I drive to Atlanta. I go to this children's hospital. I get there. There was a lot of people in this room, a lot of family, and there was also a family pastor that I did not know was there or was going to be there, but I just went in because I got the call. They said pray, so I showed up, and I wanted to pray for this child, and I wanted to try to minister to this family. I walk in there. It's a somber atmosphere, and rightfully so. But I began to talk to that pastor. I introduced myself, and I say, listen, I would like to pray, and I want to pray for healing. And I was kind of shocked. I was taken back because I was told they come from a background and a belief that they did not believe in the laying on of hands and praying for healing. They just prayed for God to get them through whatever it is they were dealing with. But it was made clear to me they didn't pray specifically for healing. But you know what I did? I just spoke up in the middle of that room. I was respectful. I said, hey, guys, I'm here. I just want to pray. And I began to pray. And I began to pray for this child's healing. I finished that prayer. I loved on that family afterward. And I just being honest, I got some stares. There was some awkward silence. And I left. But I left praying the prayer of faith. But I also left almost with, really a broken heart, hurting. I wasn't upset, but I was hurting knowing that that was the condition of some of the church, that we don't even believe in praying for healing anymore. And so after that took place, I had a conversation with someone in that family a little later on. And they said to me, you really believe that you can lay hands on people and pray and they can get healed? And I said, I absolutely do. And I said, but it has nothing to do with me. Has nothing to do with my hands, has nothing to do with anything but Jesus. Jesus is the way that that's possible because he paid for that healing. Isaiah 53:5 says, by his stripes we are healed, right? And so it has nothing to do with me. I just pray the prayer of faith, right? Anyone who has faith can pray. And so it has nothing to do with me, but I do believe that because Scripture says so. And I actually pulled up some of those scriptures I've been quoting to you today on my Bible app, showed this individual what the Word of God said, and they said to me, I don't know. I just don't see it. Now, what they really meant was, I come from a place that doesn't agree with that, so I don't agree with that. And sadly, that person and I had to agree to disagree, but how interesting is it that we can say we don't see something when it is right in front of our eyes, right? And I've been there. I'm not throwing off anybody. Listen, this happens a lot in my marriage. I'm talking about me. Look at her with her mouth dry. I'm talking bad about me. She's like, no, she knows this is true. I can go in the closet. She's like, oh, yeah. I can go in the closet. And I can look for 15 to 20 minutes for a particular pair of pants or a shirt. I know it's there. I know I'm looking for it. I know that it's got to be there. And I'll look and I'll look and I'll look. And I'll go shirt by shirt. It's not here. And I know because it's happened so many times. I do not want to say, Amanda, you know where this shirt is, because I know what she's going to do. She's going to say, it's right there. And so I'll say, Amanda, have you seen the shirt? It's hanging in the closet. I'll take another 10 minutes. Shirt by shirt. How many can testify with me? All right, man. Okay, I know I'm not the only one. Shirt by shirt. It's not here. And I'll say, all right, I got her this time. I went shirt by shirt. There ain't no way she's going to come in here and grab this thing. It ain't in there, baby. She'll walk in there. Doop. There you go. No time at all. Anybody else? So it's amazing to me how we can say we don't see something, but it's right in front of our eyes. That doesn't just happen with shirts. It happens with all. I mean, I'll be looking for a pair of scissors. Same thing. She can tell me right where it's at and go grab it the first time. But I say that to say today I want to talk to you about spiritual blindness, okay? And how the Word of God is sight to us. It is spiritual sight to us because it takes spiritual eyes to see and really understand this book, okay? The Word of God, because this is a spiritual book. And many times we can be spiritually blind to the things in this book. So we're going to jump right into this thing. I'm going to give you my first point. The first point today is this. Spiritual blindness steals our understanding. Spiritual blindness steals our understanding. Now, I'm going to tell you what causes the root cause of spiritual blindness in my next point. But we first got to know that spiritual blindness can and will steal our understanding. So I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures on spiritual blindness straight from the Bible, and the Bible talks about it a lot, okay? Isaiah 42, verses 18 and 20 through 20 says, "Hear you deaf, and look you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger whom I send? Who is blind as he who is perfect?" Now that gives you just a little bit of a hint as what causes spiritual blindness. Who is blind as he who is perfect? And blind as the Lord's servant, seeing many things, but you do not observe, opening the ears, but he does not hear. Isaiah 43:8. Bring out the blind people who have eyes and the deaf who have ears. Now, anyone who reads these verses in their correct context should be able to actually see and understand that the prophet Isaiah is not talking about physical deafness or physical blindness, but he is talking about a spiritual deafness and a spiritual blindness. And so is Jeremiah right here. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 21. "Hear this now, O foolish people, without understanding." Watch the connection. Without understanding. Remember, the first point is spiritual blindness steals our understanding. "Hear this now, O foolish people, without understanding, who have eyes and see not, and who have ears and hear not." Ezekiel 12:2. "Son of man, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house, which has eyes to see but does not see, and ears to hear but does not hear, for they are a rebellious house." So rebellion is a cause of spiritual blindness. Okay, I'm going to go deeper into that. Zephaniah 1:17. "I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord." Another cause of spiritual blindness, walking in known sin. Walking in known sin can blind you spiritually, okay? Matthew chapter 13, verses 14 and 15. This is Jesus talking, right? He's explaining why he teaches in parables. That's this portion of scripture. He's talking about why he teaches in parables, okay? Watch how he ties spiritual blindness to a lack of understanding. "And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, Another word for that is repent. Turn. That's what repent means, to turn or to change the way you think about something, so that I should heal them. Heal them. Please hear this. Jesus said this, and I'm just going to paraphrase this, okay? So we can understand a little bit better. He said, people have to see and hear with their spiritual eyes and with their spiritual ears to be able to understand God's word. Because he's talking, he's explaining why he's using parables. So they got to see with their spiritual eyes and ears, okay? But they need to see and hear God's word with spiritual eyes and ears. Why? So they can turn. Why? So that I can heal them. Okay? Please, please hear me. The reason why a lot of people are not spiritually healed is because they do not turn from their sin. And the reason they do not turn from their sin is because they do not understand what that sin is doing to them. Okay? And the reason they do not understand what that sin is doing to them is because they are spiritually blind and deaf. Y'all getting that? Y'all with me? But think about what Jesus says right here, spiritually speaking. They can't see and they can't hear. Therefore, they won't turn, and therefore, I'm not able to heal them in that fashion because they don't even want it because they don't understand. They don't have the faith to believe. We need to understand what being spiritually blind can cause in our lives. It can cause us to remain physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually sick. It can. But it's God's word that changes things. It changes people. It changes hearts. It's not how good someone preaches. Look, I've been in some services where some people can preach the paint off the wall. I'm talking about they were born to preach, and I love it. But it's not about how good or how charismatic someone is when they preach, but it's God's word that changes people when it goes forth. That's why I always try to use a lot of scripture, right? Because it's God's word. Psalm 107:20, I quote this a lot when I'm praying for people, right? It says, he sent forth his word and healed them and delivered them from all of their destructions, right? So it's his word that heals, it's his word that delivers, and it's his word that brings life. So if we are spiritually blind and deaf, it'll steal our understanding of that, okay? Here's point number two. Pride causes spiritual blindness. Pride causes spirit. It's the root cause of spiritual blindness. So I mentioned in the scriptures we read earlier that rebellion and continuing in sin can cause spiritual blindness. But the root reason why someone would continue in sin and continue in rebellion is because they have pride. Right? And I'm not throwing off on anybody. I've been there too. I think we all have. But there has to come some point where we have to humble ourselves before the Lord and get rid of that pride and say, have mercy on me. As Jesus talking about the publican and the Pharisee who went to the temple and beat on his chest. He said, have mercy on me, for I am a sinner. And Jesus said, that's the prayer I hear. Right? Have mercy on me. We humble ourselves before the Lord. So in John chapter 9, it says that Jesus heals a blind man, and he had been blind since he was born, since birth, okay? And after Jesus heals this blind man, the Pharisees, the church folk, they got mad about it, right? It was kind of like some of those people didn't like it that I was praying for healing for this child at that hospital, right? Isn't that amazing to you? That people can get upset for people to be healed. So this blind man gets healed, and the religious people get upset about it. And they go to this man, and they say, who did this? Who did this? And this guy says, look, it was some guy named Jesus. This is all I know. I've been blind since I was born, and this guy named Jesus came along, and all I know now is that I can see. I can see. That's all I know, right? And so now they go and they track Jesus down. They start talking to him. But I want you to watch what Jesus says to them. Now, these Pharisees, they're not physically blind. So we have to understand Jesus is talking to them right here in this portion of Scripture about their spiritual blindness. He's talking about to those that are in the church, even the leaders of the church, about their spiritual blindness, okay? John chapter 9, verses 39 through 41. And Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind." Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said, "Are we blind also?" And Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now, or since, you say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remains." They had a sense of pride in them. Your sin remains. Okay? So Jesus says, "I've come into this world so that those who are spiritually blind will be able to see and receive their sight." Anybody remember the story of Saul of Tarsus, right, who became Paul? Saul of Tarsus, he'd been persecuting the church, throwing Christians in prison, persecuting and killing Christians, right? He's on the road to Damascus to do some more of that, and Jesus appears before him, and he says, "Saul, so why do you persecute me?" And he says, "Lord, I don't even know who you are." He said, "I'm Jesus. And you've been persecuting those who believe in me, who confess and profess me. And since you persecute them, you're persecuting me." And Saul repents, right? He goes away from that Damascus Road experience, and he can't see. And so God sends a prophet, Ananias. Ananias prays for him. And what does it say? Scales fell off of his eyes, and he was able to see. And then Saul, his name was changed to Paul, right? And he became one of the greatest apostles who ever lived, a martyr for Jesus, and he helped write most of the New Testament that we read because the Holy Spirit unctioned him to, right? And so God took someone who was spiritually blind, took the scales off their eyes, and used him to be one of the greatest men in the church, the history of the church. So God can open blinded eyes. So Jesus says, "I came into this world so that those who cannot see spiritually will be able to see. And those of you who say that you can see without me, without Jesus, you're going to be made blind. You're blinded by pride." And the Pharisees, they hear that and they say, "So you're saying we blind, Jesus? You think we're blind?" And Jesus says, "Oh yeah, you blind as bats if you think you can see without me. If you think you can see without me, you're blind. But if you would admit to me that you can't see without me, then I would forgive and erase your sins, and you would see clear as day. But as long as you do not confess that you need me, that you need Jesus, that is how long you will remain spiritually blind, and that is how long you will remain in your sin." So we have to get to the point where we humble ourselves and we say, "Jesus, I need you more than anything else in this life. Give me eyes to see and ears to hear. Please, Jesus, help me." That's all. We just humble ourselves before the Lord. So let me give you a scripture that without spiritual eyes, we can look at it and we really may not understand it, and it may not make a whole lot of sense to us. This is Isaiah chapter 4. Verse 1, okay? It says, "And in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, 'We will eat our own food, we will wear our own apparel, only let us be called by your name to take away our reproach.'" Now look at me. Didn't that verse just minister to you? That's a joke. You can laugh. Man, that's a joke that failed miserably. I heard one little giggle. Did that verse minister to anybody? Okay, let me explain. That's one of those verses that you read at first and you say, "I don't have a clue what that means," right? But when I read this Bible, I always pray, "Lord, give me eyes to see, give me ears to hear, give me a heart to receive, and give me a mind to understand." And I say this, "Holy Spirit, help me." Now, every time we read the Word, we need to pray something like that. Give me eyes to see, ears to hear, okay? And we need to ask the Holy Spirit that He would help us see with spiritual eyes and receive what He has for us in that time of reading. And he'll always help us. But let me tell you this. There's always a practical side to things, too. There's a part we do. So there are things, even though I pray that, I still have to study, right? I have to study and cross-reference and do some study. So as I did that with this verse, I want to explain it to you a little bit, okay? What I saw, what the Lord revealed to me. So this is what we know. This verse says, there are seven women in that day. It says, in that day, right? Seven women. In Revelation chapter 2 and 3, there are seven churches, right? Anybody remember the seven churches of Revelation, right? We did a whole series on that a couple years ago called Letters from God, where Jesus talks to John the Revelator and has him send letters to the seven churches in Asia Minor, which were on the seven main trout routes of that day. So the reason it was those seven churches, because if the word got to those churches, it would get to the known world because it was the main trade routes, okay? And so there were seven churches in Revelation that the letters were sent to, okay? So many times in the Bible, the church or churches are referred to as women in the Bible. Why? Because we are the bride of Christ. And so those seven churches were real churches and real letters were written to them, but they actually represent what? The end times church. That's what they represent to us, the end times church, Revelation, okay? So here is what Isaiah is prophesying. He says, in that day, in the end times church will take hold of one man, okay? That one man is Jesus, okay? Let me show it to you, because the Bible interprets the Bible, right? Romans 5:15. But the free gift is not like the offense, for if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. So here it is. In that day, the end times church will grab a hold of one man, and they will say, we will eat our own food. What did we say this was a couple weeks ago? Spiritual bread, which is food. They say, we'll eat our own food. We'll eat our own food. We're not just going to teach and preach your word, but we'll preach and teach what we want to hear and what we like. Nothing that makes us uncomfortable. We'll eat our own food. That's all right. All right? They'll also say, we'll wear our own apparel. Apparel always translates to righteousness. Isaiah 61:10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. So in the end times, the worldly church, not the real church, but the worldly church will take hold of Jesus, and they're going to say, we want to teach our own lessons, and we want to preach what we want to preach, and we want to teach what we want to teach, and we want to have our own form of righteousness, and we want to have it on our terms, but still, in the midst of all that, let us be called by your name, Jesus, so that you can take away our reproach. And I'm telling you, I see a lot of that happening in the world today in the so-called church. But that's not how it works. And that's why Jesus himself wrote letters to the seven churches in Revelation, and he brought correction to them, right? And he says, look, this is what has to change, or judgment is inevitable, right? I'm telling you, this is a spiritual book, and there are some things we will never see or we will never understand unless we look at it and we read it with spiritual eyes. So here's my third point. The final point is a good point. It's the good news. I always try to end with the good news, right? Here's point three. Jesus opens blind eyes. Jesus opens blind eyes. Mark chapter 8, verses 23 through 25. So he, Jesus, took the blind man by the hand, led him out of the town, and when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. He looked up and he said, I see men like trees walking. Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up, and he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Okay, So I've always kind of been intrigued by these three scriptures, these three verses right here, because it has all kind of craziness happening in the middle of it. Just three verses, right? I mean, we got Jesus spitting on somebody's eyes, rubbing them. We got he's seeing men that are walking like trees. And then you got a complete miraculous healing where this guy, his blinded eyes are open, he can see physically again. Just in three verses. The Bible's awesome, y'all. That's just in three verses, right? But some of this I never fully understood. Like, first of all, Jesus, why you spit on this dude? Why you spit on his eyes? Then, why did he see men like trees at first? Because there's nothing by accident that's put in the Bible. If we believe what we say, we believe in what this says. It was all given. All scripture is given by inspiration. Remember, we talked about it. It's breathed out by God. So that was not put in there by accident. There was a purpose behind it. So why is that there? I want to try to explain. Genesis 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, dirt. And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. So God made us, he made mankind from the dirt, from the dust of the ground. Everybody with me? Okay? Isaiah 64, 8. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you our potter. And we are all the work of your hand. So that's where that saying comes from. He's the potter, we're the clay, right? Do you know how clay's made? Water and dirt. There's a little bit more in depth, but when you get to the nitty gritty of it, it's water and dirt. You mix dust and water, and you make clay. Okay? So what Jesus was doing right here as the potter was he was mixing dirt with some moisture so he could form his clay, the work of his hand. And as he was forming this man, right, so he could see, and as he formed and reformed his eyes, the first sight that was made new was this man's spiritual sight. He caused him to see spiritually first. And I'm going to show you how I know that. Jesus rubs those eyes that first time. He's forming them. He says, okay, what do you see? He says, I see men like trees walking. Why? Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law or the word of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its seasons, whose leaf shall also not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Psalm 52, 8 and 9. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise you forever because you have done it. How many know the Lord has done it, right? And in the presence of your saints, I wait on your name, for it is good. Psalm 92, 12 through 15. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree, and he shall grow like a cedar, which is another tree in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. Somebody needs to know God's not done with you yet. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare the Lord is upright. He is my right rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is of the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaves will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Here's my point. Men who put their trust in the Lord, in Jesus, are described as trees time and time again in Scripture. And when the potter, when Jesus was forming this man's eyes again, his spiritual eyes were open first, and he saw men, Jesus' disciples, who put their trust in him, walking around like trees. So his spiritual eyes were opened up first, and then Jesus said, okay, we got the spiritual eyes open. Here we go. Let's move on to the physical. Now what do you see? He says, I see everything clearly. Complete and total healing. Listen to me. Jesus opens blinded eyes. But the first thing he's concerned about is our spiritual sight. Justin, would you come up here? I asked Justin to help me share a story. Grab one of those mics. He's got purple, Keith. So several years back, I don't know how long it's been.
2019.
Tell him what was going on. I remember the issue with you. I just remember your eye being red.
Yeah, yeah.
It was terrible.
For about a year, I had went to the doctor, and because my eye was just swelled up, and I couldn't figure it out. I was using all kinds of eye drops trying to figure out what was wrong with it, and you know, it was just so swelled up. And I remember we were about to go on a trip, and I really needed to go to the doctor, but we were about to go on this trip, and here it was the weekend, and it was in so much pain. I didn't want to go nowhere, didn't want to do anything. And I remember that night, it was Saturday night into Sunday morning, I woke up.
How long did this go on?
It went on a year. It was 2018 when it started happening. So this is 2019. Yeah. And I woke up and I went to the bathroom, and there was this like blood just like coming out of my eye, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. Of course, you know, I freak out a little bit on stuff like that, and I don't handle blood well. But all I did is like, I didn't know what else to do, so I just went into another room in the house, and I just started praying. And I told Cassidy, I said, I'm going to the altar Sunday morning. I'm tired of this. And so church was over. The service had nothing to do with healing. And I don't even know what the service was, because my mind wasn't even on that. My mind was, I'm going to be healed today. And I went to, everybody was kind of leaving, and I knew Andrew was done with the altar call for what the altar call was needed for. And so I came up and I was like, hey, I'm tired of this. And we prayed, and he laid hands on me and we prayed. And
yeah, I just remember when he came to the altar, we were standing right there. I remember it like it was yesterday. His eye literally looked like he had his pupil, but there was raw blood in his eye. Mm-hmm. And that's all you could see. It was just pure red. And he was desperate. I'm not going to lie. He came up. He was like, I've been dealing with this forever. It's so uncomfortable. I'm in pain. I need to be healed today. And I remember I laid my hands on him. I began to pray. And I told him this afterwards. I don't know if you remember this.
Yeah, I do remember it.
But when I laid my hands on him, it was like the Lord said to me, if I told you to spit in his eyes, would you do it? Now, I answered the Lord honestly, and I said, absolutely not. That's the truth. I felt it. I know when the Lord speaks to me. I felt him speak to me. If I told you to spit in his eyes, would you do it? And I said, no.
It would have been a little awkward for me.
It would have been awkward for him. I said, no, ain't no way. But I prayed the prayer of faith. I laid my hands on him, and nothing happened immediately right there, okay? But I left there a little discouraged, and let me tell you why. Because I wanted to see it right then and there, but then I left discouraged because I thought, man, the Lord just revealed something into my heart. Am I willing to obey him no matter what? And that's the reason he asked me. I don't think he was asking me to spit in Justin's eyes. He was just revealing, hey, there's parts you hadn't fully surrendered to say, I'll do whatever you say. And so he was just revealing my own heart to me. So Justin goes home.
Yeah, this is same day. We go to eat after service, and then we come home, and I was, you know, Cassidy was like, you gotta do something. You gotta help yourself too. And I'm like, thanks, Cassidy. And I'm not even gonna look over there. So she gave me a warm compress. You know, warm compresses is good for us, any swelled eye. So I just took it, and she was like, hey, just rub it. just when you got it on there, just rub your eye. I was like, okay. And so I just kind of had that compress on, and I just started like just rubbing it like this. And next thing I know, I felt something fall out of my eye. Not my eyeball. And I looked down, and it was like a, I don't even know what you would call it. It was like
a picture of it.
Yeah.
One second. We got a picture that will be put up there. But it was like a clot.
Clot of blood.
Fell straight out of his eye onto his cheek.
Like almost in a pouch. Okay. All right.
So he calls me.
Yeah.
And he says, bro, you ain't gonna believe this. He said, I was sitting here, I was doing this, and something fell out of my eye, landed on my cheek, and I wiped. And he's like, this thing just fell out of my eye, and my eye is clear.
Yeah.
And there was a complete healing.
Mm-hmm.
There was a complete healing. That fell out of his eye.
Yeah.
Fell out of his eye, and his eye was better right then and right there. I say all that to say this. God is in the healing business.
Yeah.
Okay? But the first thing he's concerned about is your spiritual healing, your spiritual blindness. He came that you might have sight. I want everybody to stand with me. Amanda, you can come. If you would, just bow your heads, close your eyes with me. The most important thing, the most important decision, the most important healing we could ever receive is the healing of our spirit. And the way we receive that is by confessing Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of our life. And maybe you're here this morning, you're in need of that spiritual healing. And you say, I've never made Jesus the Lord of my life. I've heard all about him, been around church, been all around this and that, but I've never truly made him and confessed him as the Lord and Savior of my life. If that's you this morning, you need that spiritual healing, just throw your hand up, put it right back down. I need spiritual healing. I need spiritual healing. Maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you're saved and you walk with the Lord and you say, but Pastor Andrew, you know, I feel like sometimes, just like the Pharisees, I've been blinded to some things. Maybe there's some pride in your life, some things you're holding on to, maybe some known sin that you know. Whatever it is, you just say, hey, I've given my life to the Lord, but I need some healing in my spiritual sight, and I need to lay some things down, and I need that this morning. Would you throw your hand up, put it right back down, see them. Maybe we've been at a place, like Isaiah says, where we say, hey, I'm going to eat my own food. I'm going to wear my own apparel. Only let me just be called by your name. But the Lord, in this service, is speaking to you, and he's saying, hey, there's a better way. There's a better way, and it is the way, the truth, and the life. If that's you, and the Lord's just speaking to you, throw your hand up. Throw it up. I see it. See it, see it, see it, see it, see it. This is the last question right here. You hear this morning, you say, Pastor Andrew, I need healing. I don't care if it's physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual. You just say, I need a healing touch from the Lord this morning. If that's you, throw your hand up. Need a healing touch. Okay, I want you to look at me. The Lord has dealt with me all week. It came up in Wednesday midweek service at altar about healing. And then that, I don't think it was by accident what happened with Hope. Her giving us that praise report is just confirmation to me to do this. I believe people are going to be healed here this morning.
Thank you for listening to Remnant Church. Our service times are Sunday at 11 a.m. and Sunday evening at 6 p.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We would love for you to visit with us in person at 5134 Joe Frank Harris Parkway in Adairsville, Georgia. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.